Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, come to you this morning thanking you and praising you for your extravagant love for us. May it once again astound us this Christmas season. Astound us so that we can't help but go tell it on the mountains, to go tell it everywhere we go. Thank you for the gift of your Son, the gift which keeps us giving. Thank you for this good news, this great news of great joy, the best news ever, and may it never become old news, but may it fill us again with wonder, the wonder of a God that becomes a vulnerable baby, the wonder of a God that comes down to us and we don't have to work our way up to you, the wonder of a God that extravagantly loves all of us. God, nothing is too wonderful for you. What an awesome God you are. We also know that in the midst of this wonder, this can be a hard season for many, with stress and pain and hurting. But we know that you continue to be at work in the midst of our pain. So we trust you with that. We thank you for the gift of the children that are with us today. We thank you for the college students who are home. Now we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, and may that bring us joy and peace and hope and love this season. And we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
I'll be bringing you the scripture that Ryan will be preaching on this morning. It says, Luke 2:25-35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." Or as one translation says it, "Okay, God, you can let me die now. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Well, good morning. Thank you to the choir for singing us our text today. That was a treat. My name is Ryan Hinn. I'm the high school pastor here at PBC. And for me as the high school pastor, this is a really fun time of year because I get to see a lot of the former students from our youth group home to enjoy the holidays with their family. And then I start seeing some of them graduated from college. And then I start seeing some of them married, and then I start seeing some of them having kids, and it becomes less and less fun as I progress down that road. But nonetheless, it is fun to see a bunch of former students. And it's also fun this morning because we do have a handful of students in here, elementary, middle school, and high school. And middle school and high schoolers, you are not, you also can draw the picture of what you are excited for this Christmas. Don't think you're too old for that. You can definitely be coloring. At the end of this morning, I'll collect those and we'll put them up on the back here. Well, if your house is at all like mine, I have an 8-year-old and twins who are 6. This is quite the exciting season in our home because of the anticipation, of course, of Christmas. We are in the middle of the year's hardest waiting game. The wait is most definitely on in our house. And as a result, I've been reflecting on this concept of the waiting game while preparing for this sermon. And for me, the waiting game for Christmas morning presents has long since left me. You're giving my socks and some slippers, and all that sounds good. I'm good for it. but our text today has really hit me hard, and it's led me to ask the question of the sermon title: what are you waiting for? So I've been asking myself, what am I waiting for? What am I waiting for this Christmas? What have I waited for in Christmases past? So I figured a few pictures of the things that I wished for back in the day would be a nice place to start this morning. So for this kids, this is called a pager. You may not really. We were texting before you. Let's just say that. The only problem is I still can't decipher pager language. This had its own language. It was called pager language. I still to this day don't know what every number stands for or anything like that. And if I'm being honest, the worst translated text message from Siri is easier to decipher than a message coming via a pager. And then, of course, when I got into like college time, these things showed up, the cell phone. If you've never met Zach Morris, yes, this is Zach Morris. And I was very jealous of Zach Morris's cellular telephone. Kids, just ignore the fact that it's bigger than his head and it weighed a ton. I still wanted that thing. And then, of course, the realm of video games. I too enjoyed my video games, but this was what I got to play with: 2 buttons, 4 directional arrows. I didn't need to go get a master's to play it. It was fantastic. I enjoyed playing games like Zelda and Mario and Tecmo Bowl and Baseball Stars. This was what I was waiting for back then. However, the pager, and sorry, Zach, the cellular telephone that he used have been rendered obsolete for some time now. And now, of course, we have these things called smartphones. A couple of decades ago, no one would have ever guessed that we would have a computer, a camera, a messaging device, and a phone all rolled into one that could fit into our pocket. We never would have guessed that's where we would be, yet that is exactly where we are. And then the Nintendo is slowly being replaced by video games that have incredible graphics, but not even that is the end of the road. We are now entering the world of virtual reality. These would be the things I would be wanting if I were today's teenager. And while it is true that perhaps some of you in this room are waiting for some of these things or something else, this wait is coming to an end. Next Sunday, the wait for these sort of things will be coming to an end. But it is also true that the wait for the world's greatest gift is almost over as well. There's a very high probability that if you're sitting in here this morning, you're aware of this gift. If you're here this morning and don't quite know the significance of the greatest gift in history, my prayer for you today is that by the end of this morning, you will have a better understanding of this gift. This gift is the coming of God himself in the form of a baby to put into motion God's plan of redemption, his make all things new plan. Now, intellectually, I understand all of this. I understand what is coming up as Advent is winding down, yet I've had to ask myself, how much am I actually waiting for this gift? Am I actually longing for this gift? You see, I'm reminded that there were plenty of people around the time of the first Christmas who intellectually knew that God would send a Savior, a Messiah, and yet most of them missed it. They missed it in his infancy days, and they missed it three decades later in his ministry days. And so I wonder, what were they waiting for day in and day out, year in and year out? What were those people waiting for? It's always easier to ask, what were they waiting for? So I've been asking myself, what am I waiting for? Well, today we're going to meet a man who knew exactly what he was waiting for. He wasn't a professional religious man, but he did know the centuries-old narrative of God's people, Israel. And we met this man named Simeon in our text from Luke 2 that Dave read for us earlier before the choir sang the Nunc Dimittis. But now we're going to meet this man via video.
The Lord will give you this sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel.
This very day, the Lord made a promise to this weary old man that this life will not pass. Until these eyes have beheld the Lord's
your firstborn. His name is Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Now your servant can depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Prepared in the presence of all peoples, a revelation to all the nations and glory to Israel. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. But my dear, I fear a sword will pierce right through your soul, so that the hearts of men will be exposed.
Yes. So we don't know too much about Simeon, but our text today makes three things very clear. First, he was righteous. He lived in a right relationship with God. He was devout. He took loving God seriously. And he was filled with and led by the Spirit, as Luke makes abundantly clear by referencing the role of the Spirit three times in three verses. Working through this text, I've been struck with the fact that he was filled with and led by the Spirit, because I realize that I too, as a believer in Jesus, am filled with the Spirit. But then the convicting part is, how much am I actually led by it? Well, given these adjectives, righteous and devout, that Luke uses to describe Simeon, it makes me also believe that Simeon knew the narrative within which he was living. He understood the greater story of God's people. He knew the promise Yahweh made with Abraham in Genesis 15 and 17, that there would one day come from his descendants, his descendants would be as numerous as the stars, and he would be the father of many nations. And Simeon undoubtedly also knew the promise that God made to David in 2 Samuel 7, that one day God would establish his throne forever. Simeon also knew the prophets, like Isaiah, through whom the repetitive message was given that a prophet like Moses, a son greater than David, a messianic king would one day come. Everything from the story of God's people on this day in the temple was becoming the new reality. Simeon's season of waiting for the consolation of Israel was coming to a close. The cool thing about the language that Luke is using here is that the word for consolation is also the same word used for comfort in many of the Old Testament prophetic passages. One of the Old Testament's more popular verses, Isaiah 40, says, "Comfort, comfort my people." Many of you are probably familiar with that section of text. It's the same word used here for consolation. Also on the front of your worship guide this morning is a text from Isaiah 52 that uses the same word for comfort. So Luke, by using this word consolation or comfort, is tapping into centuries of memories and hope of what Simeon had been waiting for and was about to behold. So now we have Simeon at the temple on this morning after being led there by the Spirit. But at this point, only half of this holy meeting is accounted for at the heavenly appointed meeting place. It now takes the action of another set of righteous and devout Jews to do their part in making this meeting possible. Mary and Joseph, following the custom of the law, bring the Messiah in the form of a helpless baby, as we saw in the video, to the temple courts. And so now we have it, the old man Simeon and the baby Jesus, all set for this improbable meeting. So Simeon sees Jesus and he takes him in his arms and he praises God and announces that he is ready to be dismissed now that he has seen the Lord's promised Messiah. And this is where the Latin phrase nunc dimittis, the song sung first by the choir, comes from. The phrase means now you dismiss. And as we just looked, it is very clear that Simeon knew exactly what he was waiting for. He was waiting for this consolation, the long-awaited Messiah, the deliverer, the comforter to come on the scene. But now in Simeon's song, he reminds us of some more of the more pertinent details of what this consolation of Israel entails. In this baby, Simeon knew he was holding the salvation of God that was prepared in the sight of all nations. We watched the scene in the video. Can you even imagine holding a baby? Many of us have held a baby. And we think, oh, how cute, how incredible, what a miracle. We think all of these things, which are all very true of these babies, but to hold the Messiah, and to know I am holding God himself. I can't even fathom what Simeon must have been experiencing, because I know the joy and the awe of just holding my three kids who proved their imperfection very early on. What it would be like to hold the incarnate God. My brain doesn't necessarily work well with that concept. It's incredible. So Simeon takes this description of salvation one step further by saying that the baby is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to Israel. Again, he holds the baby and goes, oh yeah, this is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to Israel. This is the Messiah. This is what we've been waiting for forever. This baby, it's incredible. He is looking at God himself in the baby Jesus. He is beholding the glory of Israel. And Simeon in that moment realizes these two realities, that Jesus is the fulfillment of centuries worth of promises that God had made with his covenant people Israel. But not only that, this gift of salvation doesn't stop there. It's much greater than that. It is a light. It is hope for all people from all nations. And this is the good news. And this is where Simeon found himself. He was on the front end of the new season, the season where God had initiated the redemption of the world, the Make All Things New project. But God did not complete the Make All Things New project on that day. In fact, he still hasn't. And this is where we find ourselves in the larger story today. We are living in the already not yet season in history. God has already come, and he has already started the process of redemption. But this process of redemption is not yet complete. And Simeon is a perfect example for us as to how to wait for the Lord's second coming. Simeon was longing for the day of the arrival of God's promised Messiah. He was living for this day. And while Simeon hadn't stopped his normal day-to-day life, he did not let his normal day-to-day life cause him to lose sight of the most important thing, that the Messiah would indeed be coming. And we are now in a new season of Advent. We are waiting for the return of the Messiah. Only this time, when the Messiah returns, all things will be made whole. All things will be made new. There will be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, no more evil, and no more death. So I ask myself, how am I waiting for the consummation of God's Make All Things New project? Do I let the chaos of day-to-day living allow me to lose sight of the fact that Jesus will be coming again? An even more convicting question I asked myself, if God chose to make this Christmas the season of his second coming, would I see it as an inconvenience or a blessing? You see, for many in Simeon's day, that day at the temple and the events that followed 3 decades later, all of those incredible things proved to be a major inconvenience. And those people knew, like Simeon, all the stories of the coming Messiah. And those people, like Simeon, were actually waiting for the coming of the Lord's Messiah. Yet they missed it. They missed the Messiah. Those who knew exactly what to look for missed him. And the irony is, the same prophets who predicted the coming of the Messiah also predicted the fact that many would miss the moment. And old man Simeon was familiar with these same Old Testament prophecies and succinctly summarized them that day in the temple. He told Mary and Joseph at this heavenly encounter, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Again, many who should have known Jesus was the Messiah missed him. These people knew the same information as Simeon, but were too caught up in themselves that they missed the arrival of the king. But not Simeon. He was waiting for this day. And he wasn't the only one. There were a whole lot of other little people, people of little to no social significance, like Simeon, that were also waiting for this season in Israel's history. They did not miss the arrival of the king. So it makes me pause and think, who am I like? Am I like Simeon and the other little people? Or am I like the professional religious people? And as someone who stands up here for a profession, yeah, my antenna goes up pretty quickly. So who am I like? But who are you like? Who are you like? To answer my question somewhat, if I'm being honest and transparent, I do allow the chaos of the day-to-day to impair my vision for the truth that Jesus is King, that he is at work in and around me, and that he will again return one day. And this is why it is even more important for me, and perhaps you, if you're like me, to fully enter into the Advent season that leads up to Christmas. I need to retrain my brain to not allow the vortex of life to suck me even further away from the Creator and Redeemer. But it can be hard. Our culture has completely over-commercialized Christmas to the point it can be hard to remember the whole point of it all. Because let's be honest, Advent begins right about the same time as Black Friday and Cyber Monday, which somehow has turned into Cyber Monday week or something. Still don't understand that. Advent has been swallowed by consumerism. We have to be diligent to prevent being swept up by the wave of chaos in order to not miss the coming of the King. And while it is true that consumerism has swallowed Christmas and Advent in many ways, I do want to make one thing really clear. I don't want the kiddos in here to start thinking, oh, I better not ask for any Christmas presents. No. There's nothing inherently evil or sinful in giving and receiving gifts. And two, the kiddos in here, it's okay to come up with a wish list, but I do want you to pay attention as you get older and older and recognize that the things you hope for one Christmas aren't as cool the next Christmas as those in this room that have experienced a few more Christmases. And also, kiddos, there will probably never be a Christmas where your wish list will look exactly the same, because the things you like and want will change as you get older. Adults and teens, you too can be excited about giving and receiving gifts next week, but you, like me, have cycled through enough Christmases now to know how this will play out over the long haul. These were the things I was wanting, I was hoping for, I was waiting for about a week out from Christmas. And here we are 20 years later, my wish list long since obsolete. And now many are longing for these items. It stands to reason, I think, that 20 years from now, these things too will be obsolete. What will replace them? I don't know. But I do know that there is no doubt that the world around us will let us know what these new things are, and they will also let us know that we seemingly cannot survive without them. And so we'll find ourselves pursuing that new thing, only to find its replacement not too far behind. But there is one gift that was given over 2,000 Christmases ago that will never, ever be rendered obsolete. Amen. Yeah. Yet some of us refuse to accept this gift, the only gift that has stood the test of time and will continue to stand the test of time. Some of us still refuse this gift. My question to you is, what are you waiting for? Next year's cool Christmas item to solve your sadness? You can receive that Christmas gift this morning. You don't have to wait till next Sunday. The gift of the eternal Christmas King is yours to behold today. If you have never received the gift of Jesus, you can do so today. And this gift will never be rendered obsolete. Talk to me, another pastor, prayer team, your parents, a friend, if in fact this Christmas you want to receive that gift. but now there are also others of us in here who have received this gift. Yet for some reason, we spend the majority of our days on the hunt for some other form of fulfillment that will ultimately prove to be unfulfilling. So I ask us, what is it that we are waiting for? What's holding us back from becoming like Simeon? Going through our day-to-day waiting for the king, living in light of the fact that the king has come and that the king will come and that the king is reigning right now, right here. What are we waiting for? Emmanuel has come. God is with us. And this is what we celebrate next Sunday. May we all embrace this gift of love, of hope, of grace, and of life that is found in Jesus and Jesus alone in a new way this Christmas. Amen. So now may the God who came and the God who is coming meet you in this season of Advent. And may you behold the gift of the baby Jesus in a new way this Christmas. Amen.